Thank you. There is so much to be excited for in the Christian life. Like, before you take your Bible, turn to the book of Judges tonight, the book of Judges and chapter number 2, book of Judges. I've got to ask a question. I've proposed this a number of times. How many keep a journal of your Bible reading or your spiritual life? How many do that? I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Amen. We're making progress. We're getting somewhere. Used to be none. Or at least I wasn't one. Let me just encourage you to do that. You say, do I have to have an expensive book? Yes. Go buy something that's very, very expensive. Okay? You more likely use it. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is. It is very, very helpful to do that. I don't know why. I remember a number of years ago, I believe it was actually given to me as a gift. It was actually kind of a spiral notebook, a real nice one. And I believe it was Christopher May that gave it to me for a Christmas thing. And I started to do that and got a little ways, and then I quit to let it sit there. And, you know, and finally, a couple of years ago, I started doing that. What a blessing that is. If I'd have listened to a student a few years ago, maybe I'd have had some more blessings. But let me just encourage you to do that, to just write down those things, whatever it is. Sometimes I have 2 sentences, sometimes 3 or 4. I'm not a prolific writer. My name is not Julia Phillips, who writes books and volumes of things. I'm giving you a hard time, aren't I? But she does that, and that's fine. I kind of envy that, to tell you the truth. But just write down some of those things. It'll be a blessing to you. Some of you say, well, I'll never read it. Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You'll be surprised what you may come back to and read. Writing it down helps to just put it in your mind. So I hope you just allow that. I got another question. I've been sending out streams in the desert on a daily basis. It's a little late today. It's probably about 4 o'clock before I sent it out. On email. How many have actually been reading those? See your hands. All righty. The rest of you have been deleting them, haven't you? All right. I hope you have. Okay. Those are tremendous. Okay. I'm not a big devotional type of a guy. You've probably heard me from this pulpit say I just don't really like them that well. Can I change my mind? Can I say I was wrong, Roseanne? Okay. She chided me on that one. Those are tremendous. Okay. Matter of fact, Mary, you still have a couple extra copies?
I just got 2 more.
I
ordered 5 now.
All right. Those are very, very good. We had another one we gave out here a while back that many of you have been reading from a pastor down in Missouri. And I've not read those as much, but boy, I've read these and tremendous, tremendous. Just appreciate them so much. They have been so helpful to me. And I'm trying to remember the last line in today's. Did anybody read it, remember? The last line in today's. It was a tremendous... Okay. I'm going to have to edit all this out because you're recording this, aren't you? Is that right? Okay, I'm going to just say stop right here. That's for my benefit. When I get to it, now I know where to go to. All righty. But I want you to really take a look at those if you haven't, and let God speak to your heart. They've been good. Book of Judges, chapter number 2. I want to read here the first 5 verses tonight. Judges chapter number 2, verses 1 down through verse number 5. It says, "And an angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept, And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Let's make our prayer, and I'll ask you to be seated. Father, thank you tonight. We have the privilege to read your word. God, we count it a privilege because we know across this world there are many hundreds of thousands who do not even have the word of God in their language. Shame on us. Oh God, I pray that you might cause this to sink deep within our soul. Teach us tonight. We need touch from you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated tonight. We know from Scripture that God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and we know that He had a purpose in that, and it was to bring them into the land that was called Canaan. In bringing them into that land, we find that God wanted them to drive out all of those inhabitants. However, we find, as we read the book of Judges, and especially this chapter, that did not take place. We find contained within these few verses the reason that did not take place. We learn that God would not bless Israel in subduing the land of Canaan because of one particular sin. God had given them clear command as to what they were due to the inhabitants of Canaan. Allow me to read you from a few places in Scripture. Exodus chapter 23, verse number 32 and 33 says, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." So God has taught them you need to drive them out so that they will not cause you to turn from me. Book of Exodus again, chapter 34, he says in verse 12, "Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou shalt take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a whoring after their gods." Again, God does not want them partaking with those inhabitants. He wants a separation made because he knew what would take place. Again, we find a number of places, but in Numbers chapter 33, verse 55, it says, "But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell." Deuteronomy says, "But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their images with fire." Basically, God said, when you go into the land of Canaan, I want you to destroy everything. Everything that has any resemblance of another religion, a worship of another god. Matter of fact, He had told them they were to destroy even all of the inhabitants. But we find something took place in Joshua chapter 9. Though it's not really a great deal made of it, we find that they were not discerning and they made a league with the Gibeonites. You remember the story. The Gibeonites, they saw that they had come in. They had seen what had happened at Jericho. They knew what had happened at Ai. And they knew that they were probably next. Rather than go and submit themselves to them in one way, they came with theatrics, if you please. And they came, then they made as though they had come from a great distance. Made it look like that they had heard from way, way, way off yonder that these were a tremendous people and really bolstered them. And they said, "We would just like to make a league with you." And so they thought, "Hey, there's no harm in this." And they made a league with them, only to find out they were basically next on the list. We find that God says in this chapter, because of that, because of that league, he was not going to allow them complete possession of the land. We find because of that unholy alliance, God is in basic operation here, bringing judgment upon the Israelites. To maintain the proper relationship with God, there must be good alliances in our lives, that we be not drawn away from the things of the Lord. How many know what peer pressure is? How many understand that there are people out there who can draw you away? Do we not understand that when somebody gets saved, that one of the best things for them to do is to walk away from that old association, those friends that they had, and get some new ones? That's why God establishes a local church, that we might have those kind of relationships. We found there in the book of Exodus, lest it be a snare for a snare in the midst of thee. You realize that the world can rub off on you. I've told this story a number of times. I work with a Frenchman out in Seattle, and this Frenchman spoke broken English. And as we worked together day after day, I noticed that his English was getting better. I noticed that he didn't say some of the things he had said in the past, but all of a sudden I also recognized my English was getting worse. And I was picking up some of his bad habits. And we were rubbing off on each other. Why? Because we were working together some 5 to 6 hours every day. And I learned from that our alliances, our associations affect us. That's why it's so critical for young people to have good friends and to pick folks that are going to build you, not destroy you. And because of this alliance, God withdrew His blessing and they never had complete victory in the land of Canaan. I believe tonight our alliances are very, very important. Do you not? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Familiar verse, or verses as we look here. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 6. Oftentimes we refer to these as verses concerning separation. But I want to look at it tonight not in the terms of separation, but more in terms of our alliances. Who do we get around? Who do we have fellowship with? And how can these things affect us? Chapter number 6, verse number 14, notice what he says. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Have you noticed if you're with somebody that's not saved, you're not going to pull out a Bible verse and say, what do you think of this? It just does not happen. And so we find that there is not a spiritual fellowship that can be made there. He says, and what concordeth Christ with Belial? Verse 15, what part hath he that believeth it an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, he says, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I cannot stop there. Verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You and I, as we come out, it brings about a holiness. And it brings us into the right kind of relationships. I want us tonight just stop and think about a couple of unholy alliances that we need to be well aware of. I don't believe this would be new to us, but I believe we can always use a review. I believe you know tonight that review is a great teacher. But tonight we understand, I hope we understand, that there cannot be real alliances, there cannot be real fellowship, there cannot be real agreement between the saved and the lost. It's just not going to happen. I sat yesterday, as I mentioned, Sunday school with my sister, my brother-in-law. I sat with a couple of cousins, And to my knowledge, might be one or two that know the Lord, but it's very iffy. And to be able to actually sit there and talk about spiritual things, it's not going to happen. Matter of fact, to talk about political things would have been disastrous. Okay? Because the mindset is quite opposite. There is a difference that is there. And so between saved and lost, we're just not going to have that. We are, however, to be what? A testimony to the lost. We are to tell them about Jesus. We're to be friendly to them. We are to be kind to the lost. We're to be loving to the lost. But they are not to be our fellowshipping partners. It will not work in our lives. Because they are spiritually discerned, we cannot have fellowship based on anything that is godly. The only way you and I can get along with the people of the world is to talk about the things of the world. We can talk about baseball. We can talk about football. We can talk about basketball. We can talk about jobs. We can talk about the weather. Do you get tired of folks talking about the weather? I'll tell you what I'm despising in my day is that I get around folks my age and no longer do we talk about things we used to talk about. Now it's what pills are you on? What meds are you taking? I got all these things wrong with me and I'm taking this, this, and this. Oh yeah, I'm taking that too. I wish I could say I wasn't guilty. The stuff we deal with. Amen. You have carpal tunnel? No, I have never had carpal tunnel. Well, you ought to try it someday, you know. But we talk about those kinds of things. You know what I'm saying? It is with God's people that we can come together and rehearse the wonderful things of God and what edify one another. That is a blessedness when we can do that kind of thing. We cannot really have those close kind of associations. Yes, we need to witness to them. Yes, we need to try to be friendly with them. Yes, we could have them over dinner hoping that we might be able to talk to them about Jesus. But we're not going to be able to really have an alliance with a lost person. Not going to be able to really do that, because if we do, it's going to pull us into that position. And no doubt in this room, many of us could testify that has happened to us in the past. But I believe there's another area that we need to stop and consider. And please don't get ahead of me on this one. But there are unholy alliances. Sometimes it actually happens amongst the saved community. For instance, my Bible tells me that there are two kinds of Christians. There are those who are spiritual and there are those who are carnal. The carnal Christian is not about having oneness with the brethren. Did you know that? They do not become a testimony to a lost world because love is not the prevailing factor in their life. I want you to listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 3. Really, it tells us that a carnal Christian is not that which is going to edify, but he's that which is going to rip apart. In chapter 3, verse number 3, it says, "For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal, and walk as men?" And so we find that even within the Christian community, there are those who are spiritual, those who are carnal. However, if you are a spiritual Christian, that does not mean you neglect the carnal brethren. The carnal brethren very seldom follow the correct rules when it comes to dealing with another believer. They're going to take things about you and others. They're going to run it to somebody else and blow it up rather than doing it the way God says to do it. Because they're about strife. They're about what? They're about divisions because of carnality. What do they say? They say, "I'm of Paul. I'm of Silas, you know, I'm of this, I'm of Simon, you know, I'm of Peter, I'm of Christ." You know, they were the ones who really thought they were wonderful. And we find that there is thus a tremendous problem. A spiritual Christian must be very, very alert and reject the kind of talk that it comes their way and follow God's Word. There's something interesting. There's a couple of verses that we ought to consider. It says in Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So we have a responsibility to the carnal Christian. What are we to do? To seek to restore them. How do we do that? We do not do that by running to other brethren. Oftentimes we say, "Oh, listen, we need to," you know, we go to somebody else and say, "We need to pray for so and so," and actually we're gossiping. By the way, have you ever had somebody come and say, "Oh, we need to pray for so and so," and actually bow their head and start praying? That ought to tell us something. Amen. And most of the time, it's our Christian way of, you know, getting things. Matthew tells us something. "If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." You and I, if we are spiritual, we have a responsibility to seek out those who are carnal and seek to restore them in the spirit of meekness. How do we do it? We do it one-on-one. We do it without taking it to others, because then all of a sudden we have become carnal ourselves. But more than that, may I encourage you, as you are heading towards spirituality, to seek out others and allow our conversation to quit being about baseball and football and basketball and all of these balls and all these other things, and start talking about the Lord. Somebody says, "Well, all you want to talk about is God." That tells me something about your spiritual condition. Let me ask you something. How big is God? What has God done? God's pretty big, isn't he? Has God done a whole lot? What does God know? Do you reckon we have an awful lot to talk about when we talk about the Lord? When we talk about the creation, when we're giving Him glory, when we're considering that which He has done? Do you recognize there are 66 books in this Bible and we haven't even hardly cracked into it in our own hearts and our minds? There is so much that is there. We have tremendous privilege to talk about the Lord. I tell you what, there's Christians out there that are just longing for that kind of fellowship. Amen. That is the need of the hour. That we might be a people who what? Have fellowship based not upon all this other stuff, but upon Him. His Word. His creation. What He expects. How long could we talk about the holiness of God? I get to the book of John, towards the end of the book of John, and we find something there. And in that book, he tells us he's not sure the world can contain all the books that could be written about Jesus Christ. Do you recognize we're talking about a big subject here? And you and I have a wonderful privilege to fellowship around Him. Amen. Here's our problem. We are too often in the region of carnality. Too often are we in the position where we're looking around rather than up. And how we need to just say, "Oh, God, forgive me," and begin to walk in His presence and allow His Word and His being to be that which propels us. Amen. To have that kind of alliance. I love to be able to sit down and just talk about those things. We started something a couple of weeks ago here with
called a book club because some folks checked out some books from me. And they come and they give their little reports. But I tell you what it's become. It's become in 2 weeks folks fellowshipping around the things of God and what they've learned. What a blessing this it is. I want to ask you to do something. When you get with your Christian friends, somebody say, let's talk about God. Amen. Let's put the topic different than we've been doing for so long. What a blessing this it'd be. Amen. We have a great God, Dorothy. He made you, He made me. He must have had a sense of humor when He made me. Huh? I mean, He got done. He said, look at that one. But we have a great God. Amen? Yeah. And we look out at creation. You know what, Brandon? There's such wonderful things. God made. You hit a deer the other day, didn't you? Did you hit a deer? Somebody told me you did. A couple weeks ago? Did it hit you or you hit it? It can happen both ways. I'm serious. Okay. You drive those roads where you drive all the time. It's a wonder that, you know, yeah. Just plan on it once a year, okay? Take a big knife with you. Scan it out when you're done, all right? I mean, think about that creature God made. If we look at it from a different angle and we start thinking about some of God's creation, I mean, it's marvelous. Here's an animal that's pretty much defenseless. Would you totally agree with that, Jeff? He had one charge him once. Okay, I believe it was you and Chad, you were hunting together. And, But here's an animal. I mean, they're amazing creatures. Hardy creatures. By the way, if you want to go hunting, go right straight across the freeway. About 9 o'clock tonight, you'll see about 16 of them over there. Okay, they'll be feeding on nice, long green grass. Do it with silent shells or somebody come after you, all right? I'm just teasing. But seriously, they're magnificent creatures. They eat wonderful flowers, don't they, Virginia? Eat her flowers. But I mean, we can talk about such wonderful things. God made that creature. Who named him? Adam. Adam named that. What would you have come up with? You know, it's interesting the names that God allowed him to name these animals, because there's some very great significance. Do you ever think about this? The Bible says dogs are without. For all you dog lovers, I'm sorry, but dogs are without. I got 3 of them right now that are bound for hell, I guess. They're without. I don't know where they're bound for. Somebody said, do they go to heaven? I don't know where they go. That's God's business. All I know is there's going to be horses in heaven, okay? Because we're coming back on some. Do you know how you spell dog? D-O-G. It's what? God spelled backwards. Is that significant because dogs are without? You know, those are things that are worthy of our thoughts. And to promote those thoughts within each other's minds as we consider. You see, I mentioned a while ago a journal. You know what a journal will do for you? It will give you talking points. I mean, if you've got to carry it around so you can remember what you wrote down. How many of you ever walked into service and pastor stands up here and I say, anybody got any questions? You sit there, I have one, I don't know what it is. How many have done that? Yeah. See, if you had a journal, wrote it down, you could say it.
How many come to church and you had a blessing? Yeah, what's your blessings? And I say, oh, man, I got one. Did you get one from Scripture? Oh, yeah, I do. I don't know what it was.
I'm being a little bit stupid tonight, but I'm trying to get a point across. We have a wonderful privilege of fellowship one with another. And around the things of God, not all the stuff we normally do. I guess it's all right we talk about the weather once in a while. I guess it might be all right that you tell me that you're on whatever you're on. You know, I hope it's legal. I guess it's all right you might know a baseball score here and there, but oh, wouldn't it be great that we walk into a group and say, man, I read this verse this morning. What a blessing it was to me. What a blessing. And begin to tell that blessing. And that might bring another thought from somebody else's mind and another thought from somebody else's mind. And you walk out of there saying, man, that was great. That's what I desire for you. Amen. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Help us know and understand that there is a great fellowship. We allow so many things to get in the way of that, and Lord, we mess it up so often. We get involved with the carnal, and we get the strifes and all the things like that. And Lord, we sometimes try to be friends with the world, and we do it under the guise of trying to win them to Christ, but really it's not our purpose. Lord, help us to see that there is wonderful, wonderful fellowship in Jesus. And with people of God who love you. Lord, I pray that you would work these things into our hearts. Lord, that we might realize what we can have in Christ with each other. Work in our hearts in this area. Lord, there's no doubt a need here tonight. Perhaps there's a sin that needs to be confessed. Perhaps there's a need in our heart just to seek after you for something. Lord, I don't know, but whatever that is, I pray that that might be taken care of in the next few moments. And Lord Jesus, that we might walk out of here in complete fellowship, not only with you, but with one another. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.